than murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, the Ravens were able to come away yet again with another win against the Bengals. Man, was that a fun game to watch on Sunday. Was there any doubt in your mind? Let's think about that for a second. And the Ravens are getting ready for the Houston Texans this Sunday. So, joining me as always to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, I got something to say to you, man.
All right, what's that?
The best in the world, and of course I'm talking Lamar, but is it a coincidence that CM Punk just shows up after Lamar's just been balling out lately?
I got to tell you, I fell asleep. I don't watch that backstage show that's on FS1.
I never
FS1.
Even heard of it. Yeah, I don't either.
And I happily woke up this morning to see CM Punk back on my TV or back on my computer screen or whatever you want to say. CM Punk's going to be talking wrestling on WWE Backstage. I mean, in the wrestling business, you never say never, but he was a guy I never expected to see anywhere near WWE logo again. But CM Punk back in the world of wrestling. Who would have thought that? But
yeah, it's pretty legit. I wouldn't have thought about that. And apparently, it's gaining steam with Seth Rollins here. So you know, remains to be seen. Obviously, our love for wrestling. I know you had full gear this weekend in Baltimore. I heard that was just a lot of fun, right?
Oh, so, full gear, AEW full gear was an absolutely great show. The Baltimore Arena hosted that pay-per-view this past Saturday, and yeah, I mean, the pay-per-view was crazy the way it ended. I mean, it was with like a Japanese death match, and I always thought the Maryland State Athletic Commission, whenever I was younger going to wrestling matches, if somebody were to bleed, the match immediately ended completely. Just it's over. You know, we're calling it now. No blood allowed in wrestling. And in this death match between Moxley and Kenny Omega, there was a barbed wire bed. There was a board filled with mouse traps. There was a barbed wire bat and a broom.
Sounds like what the Bengals had to go through.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, lots of blood and guts. That's what the Ravens and AEW have in common. But yeah, Saturday night AEW was a lot of fun.
Good, man.
It's good to see Chris Jericho back in the wrestling ring in Baltimore. Got chills when he came down to the ring. I mean, nothing's more, you know, BA, I must say. I'm going to keep this PG, but nothing's more BA than walking to the ring with pyro and your own band's music, you know, serenading you to the ring. So pretty cool.
Dude, I'm happy you had a great time, man. It sounds like it was a great environment. And the reason why, obviously, I want to lead off with that was a nice segue, but obviously best in the world, Lamar staking his claim, as we know, a little bit of the bubbly, as you alluded to, celebrating another joyous Ravens win that was never in doubt, as you alluded to, man. You're right. This was just never in doubt from the start. It was full throttle, pedal to the metal. These Bungles never, ever stood a chance. I feel like it was a death match.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson, once again, showing off, absolutely impressing everyone. There can't be doubters at this point, but this guy's winning back-to-back Offensive Players of the Week. That's official. So Lamar Jackson, once again, is the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. I mean, accolades keep coming. The dude had his shades on in the fourth quarter.
Bro, that broke the internet. But before we even get to that, something else broke the internet. But I mean, this is meme gold. This is picture gold. I literally want to print this picture out somewhere. And anytime there's a Lamar Jackson sign, I need him to autograph that picture. That is just pure gold. And how about the squad? I don't know if you probably know this. Do you follow like the NFL Network Good Morning Football crew?
I try to. Yeah, I don't catch it every day, but yeah, I do watch it.
Okay, so they're probably the best show, sports show on TV, period. There's nothing better than them. I record all their shows, obviously. Well, they do this. You know the segment that Mark Inger's been featured in with Angry Runs, right?
Right.
He won a few. And he was actually a finalist this weekend, but Nick Chubb took it, the crown this week. I think Matt Ringham's got one or two. He got week one. But anyway, so apparently – speaking of a few things, I want to bring their show into effect. For all those who don't know, Good Morning Football airs 7 a.m. on NFL Network. Obviously, I don't get paid for doing that, but just plugging them in. They're an awesome crew. Break down every team.
Maybe one day.
Exactly. Maybe one day. Yeah. But let's start small ball. Anyhow, so they have this thing called I forget what it's called, like frame or something, like some frame of the week or whatever. So you know, like the gang squad picture last week with the whole squad, and then Wink Martindale had his chain out and all that. That was the winner, and then apparently this week Lamar with the sunglasses won. So the Ravens have back to back. I think it was like frame it or something, or frame of the week. And then now, like you said, we got back to back AFC Offensive Player of the Week with Lamar. But just beyond that, how about another perfect passer rating? This dude is just unreal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's one season so far, one full season with him, and the guy's a human highlight reel. And everybody I talked to at work, we talked about it when we were on the Green Browns podcast. Lamar's just fun to watch. I mean, really, I have people coming up to me at work and saying, I haven't had this much fun being a Ravens fan in a very long time. They still love the Ravens. They have for all those years. But he's like, you know, Friends back in the 90s. He's must-see TV.
He is, and that's the mantra going on around, right? It's Greg Jennings alluded to. Greg Jennings was on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon, and he actually said Lamar makes him want to suit up again. And Ray Lewis kind of said the same thing. I don't know if you heard that. Ray Lewis said, and he was alluding to the time possession, where he's like, he never had that in his career, where he's like, you guys are running 8-9 minute drives and scoring. He's like, I never got that rest. He's like, come on, man. So he kind of was joking how he would come out of retirement just to play with Lamar because he would get that rest on defense. So, but it was funny. Speaking of that, you know what was odd? Obviously, we know the score was lopsided. We know, you know, breaking this thing down. But you know how the Ravens usually dominate time possession and hold the ball and dominate? They actually didn't do it in this. If you look at the stat sheet, it pretty much looked like if you just took the score out of it, didn't look at the scoreboard and looked at the stats first, you would actually think the Bengals probably won the game. And I don't know if you saw this, bro, but the time possession was actually – if I told you the time possession was 36 minutes, 11 seconds to 23:49 in favor of the Bengals, you wouldn't believe me given the score 49-13, would you?
No.
But it is true. The Bengals held the ball way longer than the Ravens, 13 minutes longer. And you won't even believe this stat. This is an eye-popping stat. You ready for this?
Okay.
The Ravens ran less plays than they scored points. They ran 46 plays and scored 49 points. Obviously, two defensive touchdowns help, right? But they ran 46 plays. Do you know how many plays the Bengals ran?
How many?
Guess. No, I want you to guess.
Five.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it seemed like that, right? 72.
72.
So the Bengals ran 72, the Ravens 46. They outgained them, or the Ravens did win the total yardage battles, 379 and 307. But the Bengals had the ball longer. They actually gained more first downs, 21 to the Ravens 20. But there was a key stat that the three turnovers to the Ravens won. It was a big one. And obviously, getting right out the get-go, I mean, from the start, It was Miami 0.2 or 2.0, whatever you want to say. It was Miami all over again. It was first play of the game, and I actually called that. I said they just should go play action and go to Brown deep, and literally they did. First play of the game, and if Marquise didn't trip over, it looked like he lost his momentum. Great throw, great catch. he probably could have scored, but first play of the game was a 50-yard bomb right down the middle, and they scored literally in four plays. It took them – Lamar was 4 for 4 for 79 yards and a touchdown. They didn't even run it on the first drive. It was pass, 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 touchdown. How about that? It didn't seem like they ran on the first drive. It was just efficient from the get-go, pedal to the metal. The defense went to work, and the Ravens got the ball again and scored again. And then they scored again. And then it just was an onslaught, and it just Lamar just was pretty much flawless. The two incompletions he had, he finished 15-17. The one was a spike, and the one was like obviously a drop pass. So it just wow. The kid was just on fire. Brandon, play the game. How about the spin move that broke the internet?
It definitely did break the internet.
It definitely did, because I don't think my phone was working. I think I had at least 20 notifications within 20 seconds. Like, it was, like, unreal. Dude, the place I was at, my home base, Silver Spring, where I watched the games, you would think if I had recorded the reaction, you would think of the Ravens just won the Super Bowl. It was crazy. Lamar got that run, and when he did the spin move and took off, dude, everybody's jumping it down. I jumped into a pile of people, and I was slapping high fives, and somebody picked me up on their shoulders. That's how crazy it got.
Why am I not surprised with you?
Exactly. But it's just this kid, man, and it's just what he leaves me lost to worse tripping. I mean, he was just slinging a ball, and it's funny. Skip Bayless, I watched the I was off Monday, so I watched the reactions of Sunday's football game. I think that's the Undisputed show with Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless. I think for an hour they talked Lamar Jackson. I'm not kidding you. I recorded the show. It was a good probably 45 minutes or so. It was nothing but Lamar. Two segments. It was just insane. And this is a funny term. I never heard it till now. Skip Bayless says, and I quote, "Lamar flicks bullets."
Oh, I like funny. That.
Yeah, I like that. Because that actually going back to the highlights after he said that, it's kind of funny because, like, and he agreed, and he alluded to this, and we all agree. Lamar don't have that cannon, right? But he just says it's fast, it comes out hot, and it's just, he's flicking bullets, and they're accurate. It's pew, 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 and it's just, like, he's back there, and if you watch it, it's just, like, his motion, it's, like, it's quick motion, it's quick release. He gets back, and he flings it, and it looks like it's just effortless, and I don't know if you observe some of the highlights, but how about some of these angles, man? The throw that he did sidearm to Hayden Hurst for first down, he fit in that window on the sideline. How do you make that play? I swear this kid was watching Patrick Mahomes' highlight films and saying, I can do that too, Pat. And as I alluded to it earlier, last year, 2018 was Mahomes' year. Now it's the Lamar Jackson show this year.
I mean, that's what a lot of people in Good Morning Football were saying is that, hey, you know, everybody was talking about Patrick Mahomes, and that talk has kind of simmered down a little bit, and now it's more and more like, man, this Lamar Jackson kid, he's legit. He's the real deal here.
Well, it's also that, and it's coupled with his play, and then it's matching the results, right? The Ravens have won 5 straight games, and they're beating opponents soundly. I mean, yeah, they squeaked by the Steelers. They beat the Bengals by 6, but since those games, they beat Seattle on the road by 14. They beat the New England Patriots at home by 17, and they just took it to the Bengals here and throttled them and left no doubt. So it was like they're just – it's funny. I'm going to ask you this. It was looking at the body of work and you don't want to compare years 2000, 2012 or the most successful years they've had here. But I ask you this. When we talk about momentum towards the playoffs and all that – do you feel that the Ravens are just bowling out and they might be unstoppable? Not to say they might not lose a game ever, but, you know, do you think that they're, you know, peaking at the right time? But do you think that the Ravens could be peaking too early?
I don't think that they're peaking too early. I think they're beating the right teams when they have to. I mean, to see what them now beat the Seahawks and the Patriots, and then to be like, this is the same team that lost to the Browns earlier in the year, it doesn't make any sense. I think that the Browns kind of woke them up and were like, look, you need to take everybody seriously. And I think they are. I think that they have something to prove, even though the Ravens are everybody's talking about them and that they're number one in so many different things. I mean, I just saw a stat that, what, they're number one in points this year. I mean, let me see if I can find that real quick. I think I share it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, they're pretty much top categories in most of them.
Most points scored through week 10.
Points scored, week 10.
So I mean, they're talking week 10
or talking overall?
It says week most 10. Points scored through week 10 of the season, Ravens at 300.
Okay. That's insane. Who'd ever thought that? Yeah, especially even though I know Lamar won all those games, barely should have beat the Chiefs, right, last year. Barely almost went undefeated through the playoffs until that playoff game. But it's like, who'd have thought after the turnover we had in the offseason, Lamar progressing from year one to year two, we didn't know we were going to get there. Who would have thought at week 10 we'd be talking a 7-2 football team with a 300-point offense?
Yeah, like in the offseason, I really thought like maybe this team will go 8-8, you know, maybe 9-7, something like that. But right now they seem unstoppable. If you look at the schedule coming up, there's a couple teams that could give them a hard time. You know, the Rams, possibly the Bills, definitely the 49ers. But then you're looking at other games against the Browns and the Steelers and the Jets, and what we just saw against the Bengals, and you're like, you know, that's not the worst schedule for this team right now. I mean, they got some hard wins early on, and you know, they need what, 3 more wins, and they're going to be playoff bound.
It sounds like it, right? I mean, especially for, you know, the scope of the AFC. Before I get too far ahead there, I want to go back to you. I don't want to get fixated on the points, not to be, you know, really dive down deep and be correct on it. But when you say 300 points, are they including – is that just offense, or is that just like how the team score? Because obviously we have defensive touchdowns there. Is that just 300 points total throughout the year team-wise?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Okay. So obviously we discount a little bit of the defense, but still, that's impressive. Who'd have thought about that? And looking at the schedule – it's really, because again, right, week to week league, and you can say, you know, you are what your record is and all that, but after these games this past weekend, I know the Texans are coming off the bye and all that. You can make an argument here, looking at the last legs of the schedule, that the Texans game could be their hardest opponent, and I'm gonna say here's why. I want to hear your thoughts, because obviously we know what Pittsburgh is, right? They're a backup quarterback. They're riding on their defense. Obviously, we know if Vinatieri wasn't so old and they had a younger kicker and they can actually make a field goal, they would have lost that game. The Colts would have had a game there. So, you know, the Steelers, for some crazy reason, have won 4 straight. So, and the Ravens boasted the other longest streak in the NFL with 5 straight. So, it's just even crazy to think about that. And we were their last loss. We put them at 1-4. So who'd have thought they'd even be in a race, especially in a wild card, and they're 2.5 games behind us in division. I don't even want to get that far. But if you look what they did against the Rams, right? Then you look what the Seahawks did. Granted, it took a kick with 4 seconds left in overtime. But the Seahawks, it's crazy how soundly we beat them. You know, they turn around, beat the Niners. Obviously, we understand it's week to week. That's their game. That was the divisional opponent. On Monday night, they took care of business. Now there's no more undefeated teams, and we didn't get our wish that the Niners didn't come here undefeated in a few weeks, so we don't get to see that. But after how the Rams played against the Steelers and how vulnerable the Niners kind of looked, they didn't look invincible, right? Because actually they lost the game. You know, I don't see most of these games, I'm going to say, being quote-unquote hard. Like, oh, my God. Like, you know, the Niners are here. And we do go out west to L.A. on a Monday night. But what the Steelers did, I know they came out to Pittsburgh, right? And it's a travel issue. But they didn't look like world beaters. I mean, they have some weapons, right? They got Cooper Kupp, Todd Gurley, breaking down the – I don't want to get too far ahead, breaking down the Monday night matchup. But just seeing that – I don't see a quote-unquote scary opponent. I think their scariest 2 opponents are in the rear view, and they beat them. It was Seattle and New England, and they won by 2 touchdowns in both games. So to me, it was like, okay, because they were the 2 ones that I thought we were going to lose back-to-back. If breaking down the schedule, I thought that was LL. They're going to catch it out. Maybe we give them the win against New England because it's a home game, right? You know, coming off the bye week, but – you know, but looking at it, let's say even if we do lose, Houston are 7-3, we can go, you know, Rams win, you know, Niners win, and then you got the Bills. The Browns beat them. and they're 6-3. They don't look like world beaters. The Jets speak for themselves. Cleveland is a divisional game in Cleveland. It's going to be a war, and we know that Pittsburgh finale in Baltimore is going to be an absolute war. So, I mean, you can sit there and break it down. I could see easily see an 11-5 team, maybe a 12-14. I see total brand. I don't know what combination of what teams they might win against or lose, but I might see two losses max the rest of the way. They could easily win out for all I care. And the way they're balling, it wouldn't surprise me. But can it be sustainable? I don't know. But right now, they're healthy for one, which is great. They're playing really good football. They're gelling. And they're firing all cylinders. And no one can figure out the puzzle. And it's just special to watch. And right now, dude, I say buckle up, go with it. But they're 7-2, riding high at a 5-game winning streak. And right now, I feel like this is just week to week at this point.
Well, right now, I got to stop you when you said they're healthy, because let's segue into talking about this Houston game. One of the bad things to come out of Cincinnati is Michael Pierce, who had an ankle injury in the game. And since we are recording this a day later than normal, we do have the injury report, and Michael Pierce has not participated in practice. There's no talk about whether or not he's going to play this Sunday. So that's going to definitely be a big blow, given the fact that Houston's really good at running the ball. But the Ravens did make some moves in the chance that Michael Pierce doesn't get to play. So do you have any news about these new guys that the Ravens have brought on?
I do. The Ravens signed Justin Ellis. He's a veteran defensive tackle. They cut Cyrus Jones in the meantime and placed De'Lon Mack on IR to move the defensive tackle down. And then they signed another veteran defensive tackle, Demata Pico, to a $1 million deal that was reported by NFL Network. So both of them are to your point, the Michael Pierce situation might seem worse than it is. To me, it probably is, right? Because they're signing two defensive tackles. But then you know what it also says? That was a glaring. Because the Ravens won 49-13, and because Lamar had a perfect passer rating, doesn't mean there's something wrong or something glaring with this team. Do you know what the problem and a frustrated problem I had on Sunday was? Is they run defense. I felt like Joe Mixon had his way and obviously showed the stats. And I feel like these two defensive tackle signings, not only number one, counter the Michael Pierce situation, but two, they're bolstering their run defense because they already seem to know they're winning. Look what Eric DaCosta's doing. He's making this thing on the fly while he can. Remember, the pass rush was a problem weeks back. Couldn't disrupt quarterbacks, couldn't make them uncomfortable. Then all of a sudden, they signed Josh Bynes. They signed LJ Fort, and LJ Fort got a contract. And all of a sudden now they made Russell Wilson uncomfortable. They got to Tom Brady, and they were all over Philly. Or Finley, whatever his name, Ryan Finley. So it's, they've kind of remade this thing on the fly. Now with these additions to the defensive tackle ranks, it's even more so. And I've heard good things about these players. Pico used to be a Bengal in his own right, and he's a big dude. So I feel like these are not, the big names, right? But they're there for a purpose. And just like these signings like LJ Fortin, we're familiar with Josh Bynes back when he played for us on the championship team, it's these players that we can sign for a premium or for less than a premium here, right? And they're going to help us fill in the ranks. So I feel like these are two, it remains to be seen what these signings might be, but I think these are two really good signings given the situation and given what the Ravens are kind of making this on the fly. I'm very pleased to see these kind of moves happening as the season progresses. That means they're addressing some needs and they're moving the pieces around when they need to be.
Now, also on defense that did not practice today for the Ravens, we have Earl Thomas, Brandon Carr, and Jimmy Smith. So Jimmy Smith is not injury-related, thankfully. So, there's no question he should be on the field and playing. But Brandon Carr, Earl Thomas not practicing, that is a little worrisome, especially, like you said, with this Texans offense. This one's going to be rough. This is not going to be like the Cincinnati game. The Texans QB, Deshaun Watson, he's a fantastic passer. He likes to throw in difficult spots. He's definitely going to keep this Ravens defense on their toes, and it's going to be a long day for the Ravens defense.
Absolutely, man. And I feel like the way that the weapons are designed, if you look at both teams, you're speaking of the Texans' weapons, don't you think they kind of mirror each other in a way, apart from DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah.
Do you think the makeup? And it was kind of brought to that attention that you remember a couple weeks ago when we played New England and Bill Belichick kind of alluded to that you can't simulate Lamar in practice. My fear is that I wouldn't say a fear. I mean, but the concern is that Deshaun Watson, right? He's making his stake, his claim for an MVP type season, just like Lamar is. He's in the top five running in the conversation this late in the year. He's best suited to simulate that kind of Lamar Jackson. But I'm going to counter that too, in bolstering the statement by saying, you know, remember Bobby Wagner's statement with the Seahawks? He's one of one. So Lamar's Lamar, right? You can sit there, you can have a player that's similar to him and replicate it in practice, but with Lamar's athleticism and how Pekar alluded to how, you know, that raw speed, he's quicker in person than he is on film. So you can't take it for granted. So, you know, whether they can sit there and replicate Lamar's spin move motions and his jukes and his plant and go and his throwing motions and his reads, but Lamar's intelligent. He's reading defenses far beyond what we thought he could do this early in his career. He's orchestrating offenses, and it's just he's out there leading, and he's putting the players in the best position to win. And just watching him orchestrate this offense is just magical. And the Texans do pose a problem, number one, because they got Deshaun. They got a big playmaking receiver in DeAndre Hopkins who could pose a threat with our secondary. And the fact that they're coming off a bye, they're rested. And they've had, again, just like the Ravens had 2 weeks to prepare for New England, they're coming into our house, and they have 2 weeks to prepare for us, but I feel like we're ready for them. And what did help the Ravens is they got ahead so bit early in that game, were they able to rest their starters in the fourth quarter. So I feel like the Ravens had a little bit of an advantage there as well, and the fact that it's another home game for the Ravens this Sunday.
That's right. It will be another home game for the Ravens, and that's a big deal. But Lamar Jackson might be throwing the ball a little bit more than he's used to. Mark Ingram might not have the busiest day on offense. The Ravens are up against a team. This is only the second team that they have faced that has so few rushing yards. So the Ravens have faced just the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, who have allowed fewer yards per rushing than Houston. So that's definitely going to limit some of Lamar Jackson and the offense's game. Do you think that Lamar has the wide receivers and the tight ends? I mean, we've seen what he can do with Nick Boyle and Mark Andrews, but does he have enough weapons that he's going to be able to throw that ball and get it in the air when he needs to?
I believe so, man. And if you've seen the pass game for any indication, I like to see the receiver step up outside of Brown. But you know, right now we have three solid tight ends who are just making plays all over the field. Marquise Brown had a crazy great game. That throw to Marquise standing tall in the pocket, getting hit, and just throwing it right in there for Marquise. It was great. And then we just want to see Snead, you know, Boykin, and then we know that Seth Roberts is out there as well. And I feel like we thought that was going to be the case against the Patriots, that Lamar was going to have to go to the air because they're going to stop him on the ground. It never was the case. And then here, they kind of did reverse, right? They kind of went pass heavy first, and then they hit him with the run later in the game where, because again, I alluded to it on the show last week, you know, the Bengals had the 32nd ranked rushing defense, dead last in the NFL, and then the Ravens, what did they do first? Play the game, air it out, and then Lamar just continued to just wing the ball over the field. Receivers were open all day long, and again, it helps with that play action. We know coming off of the running attack that the defense doesn't know where they're going to go. It creates so much problems where if it has to rely on Lamar's arm, he's proved time and time again that we're more than fine with it, because it's not like it's been, well, you know, he's only thrown like four touchdowns this year and he's got 10 picks. You know, it's not like it's been a problem. The dude boasted two perfect passer ratings, and I don't care who it was against. It's hard to do that in the NFL, and he's the only second quarterback to do it twice in the same season. So for all those years gone by, there's been teams that played some bad opponents, right? But they ain't putting two passer ratings up in the same season, let alone one perfect passer rating. So, you might discount the opponent, but if it was that easy, everybody would be putting up perfect pass ratings against these teams, and they're not. So Lamar's doing something special, and you just got to take it for what it is. And if it's an air assault for the Ravens, by all means, I think we're ready for it.
Now on Sunday, since it is in Baltimore, it is going to be cloudy here. Doesn't look like there's any rain that we have to worry about. Only a high of 46, so it's going to be pretty chilly. I mean, it's been pretty cold here in Baltimore already this week, which I just came take my car in to get something serviced, and they left the window down last night. So that was great to get to pick that car up at 8 in the morning and sitting inside an ice cube. But anyway, on Sunday it'll be 46. Have we seen Lamar and how he does in the cold? We know this guy's a Florida guy. Is he used to the cold weather that Baltimore can have already?
I think so far. I mean, it hasn't affected him to the point of like Peyton Manning, because they don't play in the dome half the year and then it's got to come out of it. But no, I think Lamar's built for it. It's always a good topic because of where they come from, where they play football, their career. And if it's any indication, I don't know if Lamar's dealt with it. But speaking of this freeze, Texas, I heard parts of Texas was 9 degrees, and Florida is having their own cold spell. So just no matter where you are, I feel like this cold spell, you can't escape it no matter where you're at, unless I feel like you're in the Arizona desert or somewhere or way down south. But besides the point, I don't think cold weather would affect Lamar either way. We've seen a little bit last year. He played in Kansas City. He played in here in late December and was still winning ball games. I don't think the cold weather should be a factor. I mean, look, Lamar, if my memory serves correctly, I think Lamar did play in the rain a few times. I can't remember. I don't think the weather is going to be a factor. I mean, in Kansas City, he played in the wet and windy rain, and even though it was a loss, they were still they were down big, but then they got their offense gear and going. It was too little too late. But no, I don't think the cold and weather is a factor. I think he's built for it, and I don't think, obviously, if he was on the podium when we were asking the question, it wouldn't bother him. I think it would just deflect off his shoulders, just like everything else, and he'd just go, bring it on, right? And I don't think it would faze him either way, and I don't think the cold's a factor.
What about for the Ravens Batman? Is he going to have his bat fleece on?
The bat fleece will be on. The bat suit will still be on no matter what weather. It's not going to stop me from being the Ravens Batman down at the stadium as I always show up, but it's going to be in full force. I'll still be layered up, maybe even a little hand warmer action this time around. Didn't have it on the Sunday night games. It was still a little mild to me, but it remains to be seen. I embrace it, right, because everybody loves this discussion, right? Like, oh, warm weather games, cold weather games. I tell you what, we went to the early games in September where it was still 80, 90, near 90 degrees. And, obviously I still wore the bat suit and everybody was joking, like, nah, you're wearing that thing. It's hot. And I'm like, I know, but dude, I went to Miami in December and that's hot. So, and that's in the off season down there. And I mean, dude, when I tell you I spent almost $20 in water and I didn't even drink any of them, I just doused them over my body. It's that hot watching a football game in Florida. So it's just, it's just to me, and I've always alluded to all my friends, right? They always agree. Baltimore in that cold weather football, there's nothing like it. I mean, yeah, warm weather's fun and all that, but it's not football weather. It's when that fall air hits and it's colder and we're going to games and we're tailgating, I'm like, this is football weather when we're in our, winter hats and got our sweatshirts on and you're grilling and you're trying to get warm next to the grill and, you got your coffees and your hot beverages. I mean, to me, that's football. Football's for the cold and seeing your breath. And you look at the fun Buffalo always has up there. I mean, and how about what happened in Lambeau to Sunday? That was the first snow game of the year, Packers-Panthers. So if you got to see the highlights, there it is. So just, to me, that's football. And like the Green Bay frozen tundra, it's cold and it's that January football. And, I live for those kind of games. And the cold make it memorable because look at it this way. I know it was a loss 2 years ago against the Bengals, on New Year's Eve. But what was memorable is how cold and windy it was that our hot dogs blew off the grill. That's how windy and cold it was. So and we were all huddled around the heater and around the charcoal getting warm. And, and just it's just the elements. I mean, call me crazy, bro. I know you probably love watching it in the confines of your warm house, but leave the elements for me. But I embrace it. I love it.
That's awesome. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode? We got something else to bring up.
Man, you need to go over predictions. You're speeding this thing up, man.
That's right, we do. So
slow down.
All right, Josh, let's go over this. What is your prediction for this game? What is your who's winning and what's the score?
Who's winning? What's the score? I'm gonna even add some flair to it. Who's winning? What's the score? And why? I'm gonna tell you why they're gonna win. And who's gonna win this game? It's going to be the hometown Baltimore Ravens. I actually think they're going to get win number six against the Houston Texans. This one's going to be a high scoring affair, close game. I'm going to call Ravens 31-27 in this one.
All right.
And why? We got Lamar. We got the home field, and I feel like that's the X factors. The Ravens are really hitting their stride, as we talked about earlier in the show. Apart from the Michael Pierce injury, they're all relatively healthy. You know, we got Brandon Williams back. We got Jimmy Smith back. We got Peanut back. You know, Marquise still got defects, but he's still making plays out there for us. Lamar's just balling out. We have the X factor, and Lamar's just balling out. And until otherwise, it's hard to pick against these guys. Again, alluded to it before, their hardest games I feel like are in the rear view. So at this point, until they really get slowed down and stopped completely and derailed, I'm not saying I want to pick them out to the end of the year, but really it's just hard to pick against them because we kind of did that in Seattle and look what how that worked out for us. So, I just feel like this is going to be a high-scoring track meet game. You know, you're going to see the Lamar show. You're going to see Deshaun Watson make plays at the end-all, be-all. That's kind of how I feel about it. I feel like the Ravens are going to still, you know, find their stride against this team, and it's a home game. You know, it's part of the reason why. And I feel like if the crowd shows up like they did against New England, it's game over because that place is rocking. And something I want to bring up is we got playmakers, and something I don't want to leave unmentioned is how about Marcus Peters making yet another play, his second pick six since joining this team. What a trade that Eric DaCosta made with that one. Yeah. That's just special.
Quite a pickup there. Absolutely. He came in, immediately made an impact, and he's still making an impact right now.
Absolutely. And then another impact, how about Patrick Carr? That's another key to the game is Patrick Carr is that versatile player, dude. He's playing offense. And he's playing defense. He had one of the plays of the game that sealed the 49-13 victory. Not that it was ever in doubt, but he got the pressure on Finley, caused the fumble, and it allowed Tyus Bowser to scoop and score. That was our second defensive touchdown of the game. How about that?
Perfect. I love it.
Yep. So Patrick Carr, there's all these X factors, right? There's so many X factors, but I just feel like the Ravens I think they might have too much firepower, and the Texans just might not understand what's going to happen here.
Now, I also think that the Ravens will be walking away with the W for this game. I don't think it's going to be as crazy of a score as it was with Cincinnati. I think it's going to be a little bit closer, especially if there is no Michael Pierce on the field. So I'm going to say the Ravens are coming away with a win, and I'm going to say 24-17.
Okay, 24-17, still within the score. It's a low-scoring affair. I like it, man. I like it.
All right, well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at QuotheRaven, Nevermore, Italian GQ52. I had to slide it in there. Come on, man.
That is quite the Twitter address you have there.
Man, you're just all over. Man, you're just all over the place tonight, man.
It's been a long week at work.
I just have to give you a hard time as always. But no, they can always follow me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we are always sharing all kinds of cool stuff over there as well. Any sort of record that Lamar may have broken, we will find out first from the call.
Oh, he just broke another ankle.
What?
Yeah, Lamar. Lamar, you're talking. I can just hear it. Lamar just broke another ankle.
Oh, okay. Jeez. Somebody else's, not his.
Somebody else's.
You just gave me a little bit of a heart attack.
No heart attack, man. Don't want to do that. Need to keep it around here.
That's right. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. I don't know what you kids are doing on TikTok these days, but if you use it, tell people that they should listen to The Call on TikTok. I'm not on there, but whatever. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Dude, I swear, man, it's I've heard Lamar Jackson's name mentioned in the last few weeks. It's just, and even people at work, like you said, people coming up to you, starting conversation, man, that quarterback you have is dynamic, blah, blah. And it's just nonstop. I love it, man. It's just, but I wanted to ask you, Brandon, closing out the show, do you just feel that with every week and with every show that we do, and he does something dynamic with this team and with this playmaking, he's just reinventing the position, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's just making you think, like, wow, like, just what you can do and the schemes and the different ways he plays. It's unconventional, but it works.
The ways he can play, as well as how he interacts with his teammates and his coaches and the fans, it's a fantastic and it's a wonderful thing to see. I mean, you saw that video of Harbaugh and him on the sidelines and Harbaugh saying, oh, people are going to be wearing number 8 because of you and all this stuff. He's really soaking it all in. He's enjoying what he's seeing. And
but not only that was a special interaction, but remember his reaction to that. He's like, that's cool, but right now I'm just trying to win Super Bowl. Like, he's like, I'll think about that later. He's focused on that. He's focused on glory, as what Ray always alluded to. He's got one goal in mind. He's got one goal. And I feel like when he's focused, I'm not comparing the Ray by any stretch of the means, but just hear me out, Brandon. Do you feel like it's that Ray Lewis effect, that gravitational, like he's just pulling everybody in and saying, let's go. And it all started with that, you know, let's go for it. Yeah, let's go for it. And he pointed to Yanni. He's like, you want to go for it? Let's go. And he's like saying, let's go, follow my lead. And he took him there. And he's just leading not only by his stats and his example, but the way he carries himself on the sideline. People are telling him, like, oh, you're in an MVP conversation in the postgame. And he's like, I don't care. I just want to win. Winning is synonymous with Lamar Jackson. It's almost like his middle name. It's like Lamar Winning Jackson. Like, he don't care. And this is what's not only his play from year one to year two, but because he's so young, but just the way he carries himself and the way he just wants to win, he gets it. And I've always said that he gets it. And it's just so special to see that. I don't want anybody to take it for granted. No, you got to enjoy the show in front of you. And it's just absolutely amazing where I said it before and I'll say it again. You know, the Ravens had their time when they had playmakers on defense where you didn't want to get Ashley on defense because you had Ray Ed Reed, you had Ray Lewis, you had Suggs. And then now you best be in your seat when the Ravens got the ball, because they could either strike quick or they're going to do that long drive and kill you and slow burn it, and it still gets you in the end with the touchdown. So, you know, again, it's just Lamar's world we're living in. Sit back, put your shades on, get your popcorn. You know, stand up and chair, put your feet up on a recliner, whatever way you want to watch, and just sit back and just take it in. That here it is, guys. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have a playmaker. His name is Lamar Jackson. He's the best athlete when he steps on the field, and we have our very own, quote unquote, Patrick Mahomes. But he is the one Lamar Jackson. You know, how many times we allude to, well, we want that, you know, X factor receiver, or we want that quarterback to take us, or we want that guy. I mean, we got him. You know, the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes last year, and we were like, I want one of those. We got him. So you better appreciate it, because right now he's playing leaps and bounds better and is on track for a better overall season, and it could be even more so than Patrick, and it could be special. We'd be watching an MVP-like performance, taking his team to new places that we never thought was possible. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. But what's lost in all this is, Brandon, what's funny is, you can't mention Ravens or can't talk about Ravens without Lamar. And it's just all the other role players we have, it makes it that much more special, because we mentioned Marcus Peters they brought in. We got Pat Ricard. You know, we got Josh Bynes and LJ Ford who've been added to the ranks. You know, we have Willis Need just got extended. We have Marquise Brown, who was drafted this year, who's making plays. You know, Miles Boykin on that front too. We hope he comes up. You know, we got Earl Thomas in addition. Mark Ingram. Dude, Mark Ingram's only got 8 touchdowns as a running back this year. No slouch. He's having a year. And it's just, you know, it's Lamar, but it's Lamar and the rest. It ain't just him, because it's a total 53-man roster team effort. And I just feel like the Ravens are going to go places. And this Sunday, down at the bank, again in front of the home crowd. I told you I was gushing so much about the home crowd against the Patriots. And, you know, it's not a Sunday night game. It's not the undefeated Patriots coming into town, but I hope it's the same energy. And, again, a lot of people are eating up tickets or looking for tickets, and this is another marquee matchup. This could put shockwaves in the AFC playoff race. Right now, the Ravens hold the 2 seed, and they control their own destiny. They don't have to worry about anybody else losing or winning. They just got to take care of the business in front of them. And the Houston Texans game is huge in that regard, because it just because really that must separate them from the pack. And I'm just so excited with that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.